God bless you, Joseph.
God bless you.
So today I have a new question from a sweet friend who knows us now for many years, and often he's sending in questions.
Because I know he wants to know deep stuff.
Yes, he's very sweet. Now, the question he has for today, I think many people are wondering, and I remember also us often were wondering the same thing. He's saying that, well, does God know already in advance what I will do in the future? He already knows my future actions, the words I will say, the thoughts I will think, right?
Yes, God knows, yes.
Well, then, if he does know, then why did he even send us on earth? This brother says he knows everything I'm going to do in my life. He knows also the ending of my life. So couldn't have God just decided on the spot a judgment for each one of us without having us to send us to live on earth? Why going through all this trouble, after all?
That's it? That's the question?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, first of all, God did not send us on earth. Okay, it's not like that.
Oh, who sent us then?
Well, the devil.
Well.
Of course. God sent Adam and Eve, two perfect people on earth, and the devil screwed them up, and they disobeyed God. And so now what you see in this world is a decadent world, a fallen world, a result of Adam and Eve following the devil, you understand? So what you see in this world, it's a decadence production of sin. So God didn't send people in the world like that. God sent perfect people. But they got corrupted, they disobeyed, and that's why we see all this mess around. So okay. That's what I want to clarify.
What you mean is that the world as we see it is a consequence of man's sin and man's dominion on earth. But it's not that God's... Sorry, I understood what you meant, that it's not God who sends the babies to be born by the devil. But that's not what you mean.
You see, God sent the perfect people, and the devil just messed everything up. The devil in cooperation with humanity. So because today everybody is blaming God for earthquakes, tornadoes, and sickness, and why does God allow children to be born handicapped? It's not like that, okay? God did not create this thing. God did not make and God never made anybody handicapped. He doesn't make sickness, and he doesn't send sickness. If anything, people attract sickness on them because of their sins, okay? So I want to clarify that because God... Because the devil and the world, they blame God for everything. It's not like that. All right, so what we see today in the world is a consequence of sin, really. So God sent Adam and Eve in the world, two perfect people. These people they're not sent by the devil, exactly, but they are like a result of the devil and Adam and Eve, humanity, but not just Adam and Eve. Today, we're all Adam and Eve. Anybody who sins, it's a new Adam and Eve. Because we, descendants of Adam and Eve, cannot be superior of Adam and Eve. But anyway, I want to go back to your question.
Right, right. Let's go back to the topic. Like, you're talking about Adam and Eve. Well, God knew in advance the choice that Adam and Eve will make, right?
God knows everything, yes. Nevertheless, he still went through.
Yeah, why did he still go through?
Look, along this line, the question you ask, there are even some scripture. Look, if you read in Romans 8, 28 and 29... It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So there is a predestination here, I understand. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So it seems, according to the scripture, everything is predestined, everything as a destiny. So if God knows everything, people wonder why God has to allow war, suffering, tribulation, sickness, handicaps, Adolf Hitler, concentration camps, Jewish Holocaust, and the coming tribulation. Correct. Yeah, if you judge by face value, by appearance, yes. I guess if you study the Bible a little deeper, I guess you understand that, and especially by the Holy Spirit, you know, because only the Holy Spirit can explain to us the Bible. All right. So the truth is a little deeper than this appearance here. Because, there are religions like Calvinism, for example, they believe in predestinations. And they are the ones among the Christians, as far as I know, they are the most who believe predestination. They're Protestants, and Calvin, John Calvin, he kind of continued the job of Martin Luther, but he lived in the same period, a little after. But Calvin has a completely different personality than Luther. Luther was a temperamental guy who got upset. He was a real man who got on fire. He got in trouble, would offend people, and he was blasting the Jews all the time. And he was persecuted all the time, wanted to kill him, wanted to burn him on the stake. And he was the one, Martin Luther was the main father of Protestantism. Calvin is more like a theological guy. He's like a guy, preacher, Sunday morning preacher. And he was a guy that he put up a lot of doctrines. And there are the Calvinists. Many Protestant denominations come from Calvinism. Now, the difference is that between Luther and Calvin is that Calvin is a theologian. He didn't start in a revolution. Yeah, he started the Calvinist. But he believed in predestination. Just to give you an idea, there are today many Calvinists who refuse to preach the gospel, some of them. They say it's useless. It is stupid, it is not needed to preach the gospel because, like Calvin taught, everything is predestined. Calvin taught that God created people to go to hell. Calvin taught that some creatures were created by God with the purpose of going to hell or burn forever. Okay? So, you know, he would kind of use and misuse scriptures such as in the book of Jude where he says, beast created to be destroyed. So he will use the scripture to say God created them to be destroyed. Okay? You see, he cannot interpret like that because God did not create Satan to go to hell. God did not create the rebellious angels who follow the devil who will go to hell. He did not create them to go to hell. All right? So what the scripture means is that these angelic beings, these fallen angels, the angels of Satan, who became demons, yeah, they were created to be destroyed, yes, but that was it's talking about the creation after the rebellion. It's talking about when these angels blended their godly pure nature with a satanic, evil, corrupted nature, and there was like a new creation, okay? Basically, a creation of the devil. Because the devil took something perfect from God and he made it become corrupted, contaminated. And in other words, the creation changed its substance. The creation mutated its nature, and therefore created to be destroyed. So
God created them or not?
God created them pure and perfect. But when they got contaminated from Satan, that was like a new creation, so to speak, in the sense that they got contaminated. You know, for example, you can have a bottle of milk created as milk, all right? And then you put some poison inside, you have a new creation.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Like there is a scripture that you become a new creature. They became a new creature in the evil sense.
Yeah, no, not that the devil creates like God does, like from this dust, okay, God created Adam. Not like that. The devil creates he doesn't really create perfectly, but he contaminates. So when the devil contaminates something pure, like Adam and Eve, then Adam and Eve, okay, are created from that moment on to be destroyed. But it's no more a creation of God. It's really a work of the devil, a creation of the devil.
I think there are scriptures in Genesis that says everything God created was good, no? And pleasant.
Yes, yes, no? Yes. In Genesis chapter 1, says God saw all that he created and saw that he was good.
So he didn't create the evil. Yeah.
God did not create the evil. No, no. God did not even create the devil. The demons were not created by God. All right? It just, the devil and his demons, okay, are a consequence of a perfect creatures, perfect angel, minus God's presence. Understand? It's like cold in nature doesn't exist. It cannot create cold. It's like cold is the absence of heat. Einstein thought about this. You understand? You cannot create cold. What you can do, you take away heat. You cannot create darkness. You understand? You can't subtract light.
Yes.
You follow? Just like sickness. You cannot create sickness. You have to subtract health. Understand?
I want to go back to the first question we had, because somehow in my mind I'm confused that maybe it doesn't have to do with predestination, the question. I think it's two different things. Like predestination you were talking about is when God decides for you where you go, hell or heaven, and he decides your actions that you do on earth. You don't have free choice anymore. God decided. But the question we were putting is when I make my own choices, but God knows what I will decide. So it's not predestination in this case. He knows if I will go to heaven or if I will go to hell. In this case, why do I still have to live and go through all this trouble on earth? Why can't we just go to the point at the end?
Yeah, to understand this, you have to go through what the Bible calls predestination. Because I'm saying people, like especially the Calvinists, they are using the scriptures on predestination as a foundation of the doctrines that God, that everything is predestined. In fact, the Calvinists, some Calvinists, they're saying that you don't even need to preach the gospel because everybody is predestined either to heaven or to hell. These Calvinists are completely wrong, because Jesus said, otherwise it would have been unscriptural, but Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why would Jesus send you to preach the gospel if everything is predestined? So having explained about this, that we cannot use the predestination as an excuse that everything is destined, now let me answer the question. So the question is, if God knows the future, okay, predestinations, why do we have to go through this life if he already knows the future? Why does he send us in this world? Why do we have to go through sickness, suffering, divorce, a car accident, cancer, some people suffering. Why? God, can you spare us all this suffering since you already know what's going to happen? No, it's not possible. It's not possible because the reason God knows the future is not because he makes it. God does not create the future. The future is a consequence of our decisions. Look, let me give you a scripture. And in John chapter 5, okay, in John 5, 24, say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Okay, these are the ones who are written in the book of the Lamb, right? The ones who are written in heaven. Okay, you don't try to understand yet. I haven't finished. Okay, now I want to read a little further up, same chapter. Okay, verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this. He's talking about another category of people here. People who were not written in the book of life, okay? Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, the voice of Jesus, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnations. Here you see two categories. One, you see the book of life, the book of the Lamb, and then it's another category. Okay, people that will be judged according to what they do. In other words, they receive Jesus or reject Jesus. Okay, that's one thing that everybody has to do, even the ones in the book of the Lamb. But here it seems that these guys are judged by their works. This is the white throne judgment. So what I'm saying, we see here, okay, that people are not predestined. We see here that even though God already knows the choice which we will make, he does not make them for us. So, you see, the question, it would be okay that God does not need to send us in this world. He already knows the future, the choice we'll make. Why doesn't he only just judge us? It's not like that. You see, very much it depends on the preaching of the gospel, saving of souls. It depends on the choice people make. But if we were never born, we're just condemned to hell or to heaven, people are going to complain to God and say, listen, God, I didn't do anything. You just know the future, but I was never born in this world, and you sent me to burn in hell.
But even if I make my own choices and God doesn't choose for me, he still knows what I will choose.
Yes.
So that's what we're talking about right now.
Yes, yes. But you have to live your life. God cannot send you to hell if you didn't live your life, if you didn't make your mistakes, if you did not reject Jesus.
You mean as a proof? He needs a proof.
Yeah, exactly. A proof to demonstrate that it's right to send the one to hell and the other to heaven.
Yeah, like you said, so one day I don't complain. I never lived and you judge me. So he wants me to go through so I see with my own eyes what I'm doing.
Yes, that's why God has to wait until the people who are supposed to be killed, they get killed, and the people who are supposed to be saved will be saved. Look, let me read the scriptures out of Revelation chapter 6. Look what it says here. I think it's the fifth seal. Revelation 6:9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain, killed by the word, for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, will you not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Okay, then he continues explaining here. Okay, then here's the answer. White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So they have to wait until the other Christians are killed. Because if the devil and his people do not kill the Christian, God cannot judge him. It's not enough that God knows the future. God has to also show us the future. God has to show us we are a spectacle to men, to ourselves, to the devil, to the demons, to God, to the angels.
Amen.
We have to show, because like it says in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, whatever you sow, you shall reap. You know, and Jesus said in Matthew 12, by your words you shall be condemned, by your words you shall be justified. God will not send anybody to heaven or to hell unless people make the right choice.
What about, okay, I understand everything about the predestination, but still certain things on the predestined, like the prophecy about the end time, which they will come to pass, they are written in the Bible, we believe they will be fulfilled. The Antichrist will burn in the lake of fire, and the devil will the same. On this predestination?
Well, not predestined that God that has chosen for them or for us. God simply knows the choice which we will make.
Oh, okay.
See, God can make a prophecy and say the Messiah will be born after the 70 weeks, after the 69 weeks, Daniel 9:24-27. Okay. God prophesies that the kingdom of Babylon will be destroyed. That's a God's choice. God prophesies.
Isn't that God's doing? Like God sent the Greeks to destroy, the Medo-Persians to destroy the Babylonians. Isn't it God who sent his son in the world? So that's why he was born at a specific time.
God used the Babylonians to destroy the Israel, and God used the Medo-Persians to destroy Babylonians. But God did not create the Greeks and the Babylonians. He only used them to administer justice, understand?
Okay.
But he did not create the devil, he did not create the Babylonians, he did not create all these evils. Only God uses sometimes one evil, like for example the Medo-Persians, to punish another evil, for example, the Babylonians.
So you're saying that all the end-time prophecies, it's not something that God decided it should be like that. It's just that he knows the future?
No, God decides when he can stop. Like it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look, I'll read it to you. It talks about the Antichrist who shall be revealed. All right. Verse 8. And then the wicked one shall be revealed. The 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. Okay. And but the verse before, what does it say? 6 and 7. You know what withholds the Antichrist. that he might be revealed in his time. 7, that the mystery of iniquity already works, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. Next scripture. And then shall the wicked one be revealed. You see, the God decides until when the Antichrist should be kept back. Okay, and God decides, okay, when the Antichrist can start. Look, but God does not create the Antichrist. God controls the Antichrist, but does not create. For example, we can see this truth in Revelation 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. He's talking about destruction. These are winds of destructions, okay? And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. He said, these are four angels who control the four winds to hurt the earth and the sea. This is the beginning of the tribulations. And this is the message that these angels tells to the four angels who have the power of destructions. And he says, so verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then I heard, etc., etc., they were sealed 144,000. What do we understand here? We understand a very important godly principle. If you read Revelation 7, 8, and 9, you understand clearly this is the Great Tribulations. The 144,000 are God's like a representative to keep the Antichrist under check, under control during the Great Tribulation, so it doesn't destroy all the Christians. All right? And the 144,000. And then you see Revelation 8 and 9, there are distractions of all kinds. Wars, atomic wars. Revelation 9, 18, it says that 2 billion people will die, etc. But they cannot start all these things until they finish stealing the 144,000. How long it takes that? Well, probably years. It will take years and years of preparation. God has to get some of these guys, okay, they have to be born, they have to be converted, they have to be born again, they have to become Christian. I'm talking about 144,000. They have to get saved, they have to receive training, they have to become of age. They cannot be 5 years old. They have to, like Jesus' disciple, they have to be trained for 3.5 years. And so after that, they have to receive anointing, the Holy Spirit, training, become veterans, become prophets, etc. That takes years. And then when he has 144,000 at this level, he says, okay, now, Antichrist, you can go, start the tribulation. God's leaders are on positions. You understand? Mm-hmm. But you see, the point I'm trying to make here is that God decides how long to hold the Antichrist back before he starts the tribulation. So God did not create the Antichrist, did not create the tribulation. Okay, the tribulation is the wrath of the devil. Revelation 12:12, that's what he says. Yeah. So, but God still has the control to stop it if he wants and hold it as long as he wants. But nevertheless, he has to allow it to come, just like he had to allow Adolf Hitler to come, and Nazis, and Stalin, and communists, etc. He has to allow the atomic wars which are coming. Why? Because the people want. Because the people build atomic bombs. People will start atomic wars. And God will allow, He will allow that humanity will punish themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Germany elected Adolf Hitler as their Führer, their leader, that's what it means. It means the chief Führer. And it's like they wanted a leader instead of Christ. They wanted Nazis instead of Christianity. They wanted Adolf Hitler instead of Jesus Christ. So God says, okay, is that what you want? Take it. Take the devil. Okay, so, but God did not create Nazis. God did not create Adolf Hitler. God only controlled him. That there was a war for 7 years, and no more than that. After that, God said, okay, it's time for you to go. But God had to allow, so Germany could learn a lesson. Did they learn? I don't think so.
One question, Joseph. as you were saying, and it's very clear to me now, that God has to let us go through this life so he can show us that the judgment he will make at the end about us, it's correct, it's just. But then I know somewhere there is a scripture which says that the angels that are in chains are already judged. Why he doesn't do the same with those?
Well, the demons are already judged. The devil is already judged. Jesus said the devil is already judged. Understand? So what about those? What?
Why they are judged already instead of giving a chance to go through all their lives and then judge them?
No, the angels already went through. They already had their chance. They rejected the Savior.
Ah, so they don't, there's no more chance for them. That's it.
No. No, they're destined to go to the lake of fire because they had the chance to receive the Savior Jesus. They refused it. In fact, when Jesus came here in the flesh, it was really the demons and the devil crucified him through the Romans and the Pharisees. Understand? It was really the devil. Just is like they manifested in the flesh what they had already done in the spirit in the past. We don't know when, but long before Jesus came, because it says that Jesus was killed. You see, before the foundation of the world. This is, I think, it's Revelation. Revelation 17:8 says, see, and maybe Revelation 13:8. Yeah, let me read it. 13:8, it says, and they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, Jesus was killed by the devil and the demons before the foundation of the world. When we say Jesus, attention, we're talking about the Word of God, okay? Which in this life, in this world, he presented himself as the Son of Mary, the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth. But before then, Jesus never existed as Jesus of Nazareth. Understand? Jesus of Nazareth never existed before Mary. He was always the Word of God. The Word of God. Understand?
Now there is a scripture, I think in Romans, that says that some vessels are made for honor, some are made for shame. I don't know exactly the context, but what does that mean?
Well, that's something else.
Not about predestination. This?
No, it's talking about the body of Christ. Okay.
No, because in the same scriptures it says that who are you, man, to speak against your creator, your maker, if he decides to lift up one and put down the other. Like, in other words, it's like God who is lifting up.
Oh, okay, I understand, yes.
It's
yes.
In the same chapter.
Yes, I understand, yeah. Yeah, I think what he's talking is about the Jews, okay? He's talking about the Jews, and he said, don't judge the Jews, etc., that... God didn't spare them. He's talking about that. It's against Calvin very much. He got into that, you know. That it says that God created certain things to be destroyed, etc.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Exactly what I said before is like after the devil and the angel, the demons left their first call, their first place. Then from the moment on, they were created to be destroyed.
So it's not about predestination here.
Yeah, predestination exists, but it begins from the moment of your decision.
I understand. Okay. It's clear now.
The moment that the devil rebelled against God, he began, that was the beginning of his predestination to be destroyed.
Right. And at the moment I receive Jesus, I'm predestined for heaven.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Exactly. It's like you have a child and you say, listen, if you... What can I say? If you eat the jam, okay, you are not going to... If you eat the jam this morning, you don't eat it tonight, for example. So the child says, okay, and then he disobeys, eats the jam in the morning. So from that moment, he is destined not to eat the jam in the evening.
Right. And,
it's like somebody kills. Somebody kills somebody. You make a crime and you commit murder. The moment he commits murder... is arrested by the police. From that moment, the police and the judge have a court case, and he is destined to go to jail predestined. By the predestination, it begins from the moment of his crime, not before that. Okay?
What about there is a parable, there is Jesus speaking a certain parable about the good seed and the tares?
Yeah, exactly. The same story. The same story, the same. The good seeds and the tares, he says the tares are destined to be burned, and the good seeds are destined to the barn, to the good barns of heaven, to salvation.
But I think there is a little deeper here. It says that in the night the enemy comes and plants the tares. Like, are they the creation of the devil? Certain people can be creations of the devil?
Yes. Just like today, they can clone people. You know, today, scientists can, quotes, create people. They can clone a person. They can clone an animal. But it's not really an animal. It's a photocopy. It's like a photocopy.
But it's not talking about cloning here.
You know
no?
what clonation is?
Yeah, I know. But how do you explain the tares? Like, we're cloning?
It's the same. The devil is cloning God's creation. You see, the devil is making photocopies. The devil does not really create. He cannot create nothing, you know. What he does, he contaminates. Like when a baby is born handicapped, okay, something went wrong on the stage of the when the mother was pregnant. It went wrong inside the body of the father. Something, some sickness, and so like the sperm, the thing, it got sick, contaminated by some sickness, and so somewhere along the line, the devil's contamination steps in, and the baby is born homosexuals. He's born handicapped, he's born blind, he's born crippled, or maybe dies after a couple of weeks. Understand? So who creates these babies who are handicapped? The devil. But not that he creates 100% like God creates. No, he contaminates God's perfect creation. For example, God created Adam perfect. And Eve, that the devil convinced them to disobey, and from that moment, the devil created fallen man. Fallen man is a creation of the devil. Perfect man is a creation of God. Redeemed man, saved man is a creation of Christ.
Amen.
See, if God doesn't allow, this humanity to be born, to go through mistakes, sins, crimes, and some get redeemed, some don't, some get saved, go to heaven, some reject Jesus, go to hell. It's like God could not judge people and send them to hell or save them, okay, and at the same time show himself righteous to his creations, okay? It's like the Pharisees. If God would condemn some Pharisee to hell for having crucified Jesus, the Messiah, the Pharisees would say, no, wait a minute, the Messiah, Jesus Christ never came. Okay, never came. So why you condemn us to hell for crucifying somebody never came? So Jesus had to come so they could crucify him, manifesting, showing what was really happening in their hearts, showing that he's a righteous God, and condemning to hell those who rejected him. Okay? So, basically, it's not that God didn't know. God knew. But the thing is that if God would only do things for him, then his creation is like, they would not understand. And part of his creation has already rebelled, Satan and his angels. Okay? Without any reason. Imagine if he would judge and condemn people to hell, that nobody knows, not even the very people who are condemned, that they deserve it. That he cannot condemn sinners to a punishment before they actually commit the crime. God cannot say, well, I know already by my omniscience, I know everything, I know you will. I say, okay. They will say, no, we don't believe that. The devil Satan wouldn't believe that.
Yeah.
So God had to allow. I mean, couldn't God stop the devil after 10 seconds? Yes, he could have. But God had to allow it, first of all, as a test, purging, sifting of his creation. In fact, in Revelation 12, it shows the dragon, the devil, was dragging a third of the stars of heaven onto the earth. It seems like a third of the angels rebelled. So they rebelled without any reason. Imagine if God would not allow good and evil to coexist and everybody to show their true colors and what's really in their hearts, and judge, punish, condemn to hell or save just because he knows. His creation are not omniscient. His creation, God's creation, the angels in heaven, are not like God that they know everything. Mm-hmm. They want to see. They, like me and you, would you accept something you don't see? What if somebody sends you to hell for a sin that you didn't commit? You
say, I'm going to say it's not fair.
You say, wait, come on.
In fact, I'm thinking and right now, this plus, is very good.
Plus, he will say, God, give me a chance to be saved. Okay, you will say that. So God gives a chance to be saved. And what if you reject it? Then God is justified to send you to hell.
It's very good, this. And I'm thinking right now of a comparison. Like you as a father, you punish your child, telling him, I know you will steal the jam, that's why I punish you. And he says, wait, I didn't steal the jam.
I haven't yet,
it's not fair. And you say, yes, but I know you will.
Exactly. Let me divorce you because you will commit adultery. I know you would commit adultery in the future, so I'll divorce you in advance. I guess just a second, give me a break. You're going to divorce me, take my children away for an adultery you haven't committed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, David committed an adultery with Bathsheba, and David was one of the best men in the Bible. And another thing, God has to allow this to happen so to teach us lesson. There's a scripture about Jesus says, even though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That was Jesus. Imagine how much more we have to suffer, how much more we have to learn. Okay, like it says in Revelation 2:10, the devil is going to cast you to prison. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto the end, and I'll give you a crown of life. So he will put you in prison that you will be tested. So God is into testing.
This is so good. Wait, if you can go back to what you said before, because it's wonderful. I was often thinking, why Jesus didn't come straight from heaven, already 30 years old, die on the cross and go back? 3 years only. Why he had to be born and live here for 30 years and then go on the cross? Like, he was God. He didn't have to have a childhood and everything. But you just said, it's very good. He had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered.
Yes, Jesus' flesh was not perfect. Okay? Jesus' flesh was imperfect. He got tired. Jesus could die. He was not immortal. In fact, he died.
Yeah.
Okay? You see, we have to make a difference between Jesus and Christ. So, Jesus, basically, he had to put on himself an imperfect body. Imperfect. He was not very beautiful either. Isaiah 53 says he was not beautiful. People will just look the other way. So, but you see, the idea of Jesus, he purposely came with a perfect Christ, a perfect God, perfect Word of God inside an imperfect flesh. A flesh so imperfect, okay, that he could die. So, why did he come so imperfect in the flesh? Because he wanted to show how we imperfect could do the same. Jesus came to be an example. All right? Because now we are little Christ. Each one of us is a little Jesus. And in fact, Jesus said in John 14:12, greater works than this you will do. So now, because we have Jesus in our heart, we can do greater works than Jesus himself. Jesus only resurrected very few dead. Very few. Okay, I don't know if it was three or so. But I know of Christian healers who have resurrected more than 10 or 15. Greater works. Because now we have Jesus in our hearts. And we have the same imperfect flesh that Jesus had. And Jesus had the same that we have. But he shows that with the Spirit of God in him, look what he could do. And the same Spirit of God that Jesus had, now it's in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference is that he was God and we are not. But we have God in our hearts. All right? So we can be like little Jesuses. Amen. That's why when you lay hands on the sick, you must think, these hands touching you now are not my hands, are the hands of Jesus. These words that I'm speaking now, they're not coming from me. They're coming from Jesus. The commandment, the command which I give now, in Jesus' name, be healed, is not from me. It's from God. It comes straight from the Holy Spirit in my heart. And if you do that, with strength and power, you'll see miracles, like I have.
Amen. God bless you. It spoke to me a lot. You said we have to go through this life also to learn lessons. Because if we go one day to heaven, without the lessons learned, we would be a bunch of devils in heaven. But like this, we can prepare.
Yeah, there will be other people who can make the same mistake of Satan, understand?
Yeah.
So in fact, the angels that are now in heaven, they're all angels, which they were not saved by Christ like we are. They only had eternal life like the devil. It's a conditional eternal life, okay? They had the eternal life, and they probably still do, until they renounce it, until they rebel against God, and they become like the devil.
But that was in the beginning. You don't think now they are saved also through Christ?
Well, we are not sure about that. We don't know it in heaven they are saved by Christ, you know? We don't know that. The Bible doesn't specify. So it could be that in heaven right now the angels are like Satan was before he fell. Yeah. So how was the devil before he fell? Well, he had eternal life, but didn't have salvation. See, salvation and eternal life is two complete different things.
Yeah.
Eternal life is conditional. You can see that Adam and Eve had the same eternal life the devil had before the devil fell. And the condition was you have eternal life as long as you obey. The moment you disobey, you lose eternal life. You eat the fruit, you die.
Yeah.
They ate the fruit and they died spiritually. The flesh was not living unto eternity, but it began to die. In fact, Adam, I think, was 900 years and died. And so we are in a different situation now. See, the kind of salvation that we receive by Jesus is not that we can have it until we disobey, as long as we don't eat the forbidden fruit. No. The salvation we have is without conditions. Because in the Old Testament, it's always conditional. You believe in the Lord your God, and he will save you. Don't eat the fruit of the garden, and you will live. It was all conditional. Okay, because the Messiah had not come yet. But now that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, you can see in the gospel, the music changes. From conditional, it becomes an imperative. It becomes a security. You know, Jesus doesn't say anymore that you can be saved, you could be saved. No, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. John 10:28, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. So that shows, but amazing how many churches today, they read never perish, they interpret. You shall never have security. You will perish. That,
if you sin, they say.
Yeah, it's like they make what Jesus said to be unscriptural. Instead, yeah, they are the unscriptural ones. So they make it look like, oh, if you make a sin, you lose salvation. But this is a lie of the devil. You cannot lose salvation because salvation is not eternal life. It's eternal life is conditional, like the devil had, and he lost it. Salvation is not based on you not eating the fruit. It's not based on you obeying. It's not based on your works of righteousness. Titus 3:5, Ephesians 2:8-9. But it's based on Christ. Okay, you don't become saved because you don't eat the fruit. But you become saved because you do eat the fruit of life. Understand? You become saved because you do drink the water of life. And now you have Jesus in your heart, and I heard the preacher saying sometime, okay, we cannot lose salvation, sin cannot make us lose salvation, but we can still renounce salvation. You can still renounce it. It's not true. Because I was kind of confused about this. This is, this is a new invention, I thought. This guy, where does he come from? This is a new, now they invented a new thing now. Who is the stupid? He's going to renounce salvations. My goodness. You really have to be. But let's theoretically, you can renounce salvation. Let's admit, I don't believe you can, but let's say you can. Well, the Lord, I asked God for a scripture. He gave me a scripture. Here, shall I read it to you? 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 6. No, actually, sorry, mistake. 1 Corinthians. I always get mistaken with this. They should have made just one book with 30 chapters. So, 1 Corinthians 6. It says, don't you know, verse 19, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, you are not your own. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Understand? Verse 19 and 20 says, you are not your own because you are bought with a price. So when the Lord gave me the scripture, oh wow. Like it was like a light that went on in the darkness. So in other words, you cannot renounce something which is not yours. You're not your own. You belong to Jesus. You died, and what's now left in you is only Jesus Christ. You understand? It's like you have some money, right, in your pocket. Can I renounce it? Let's say you have an inheritance from your father. I don't. Can I renounce your inheritance?
You can't. You don't have access to it.
You own a bicycle and I don't. Can I renounce your bicycle and give it to a beggar?
No, mine.
That's your decision. So, in other words, you see, God took away from us the possibility to decide to lose it, to commit spiritual suicide and renounce eternal life. Because
thank you, Jesus, for that.
We belong to Jesus. You understand?
Amen.
It's like when my children, they're in a dangerous situation. I tie them with a rope, with a belt. They cannot get out even if they want. Understand? I have the house with security, the window. Even if they want, they cannot jump off the window. I have securities. Understand? You understand? So like, when you tie a baby with a belt in the car, you know, it's called safety belt, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so you tie a baby with a rope, a belt, to a car, etc. The baby cannot set himself free. The baby is only 3, 4, 5 months old.
Amen.
Okay, so in other words, you make it impossible for them to kill themselves. All right? That's it. So that's what I want to say.
Another question, Joseph. Since the good seeds already decided for Jesus, because they are called good seeds, so they already said yes for Jesus, they are saved. Once somebody is saved, why can't he go to heaven right away and start living there? Why does he have to continue here, since we already know the end of the judgment of it?
All right, yes, it's true. That you're talking about Matthew 13. It's a long story here from Matthew 13, from verse 24 until 43. It talks about the good seeds and the tares. And yes, it seems like a contradiction, because the Bible says this man had the good seeds, and then the enemy came and he put tares, and then he said, don't destroy the tares, because you might destroy the good seeds. Wait until the end, I'll separate, etc. So the question seems logical, since from the beginning it's known that the good seeds were good seeds. Why does he have to grow?
Right.
Okay, the tares, okay, man, but why the good seeds? Well, the answer is simple. Because the good seeds need salvation, needs a Messiah, needs Jesus.
But they are good seeds. They are already good.
Yes, but they're not saved. Understand? They are not saved.
No, I don't understand.
Listen. Even though you're a good seed, you cannot go to heaven straight. You have to go through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, the tares will reject Jesus, will not make it to heaven. The good seeds, will not make it to heaven because they are good seeds, but because they receive Jesus. Because the good seeds, they're not good enough to be saved. They need salvation.
Okay,
we go back to Adam and Eve, that there is a debt to be paid. Jesus didn't come here just to save us, okay? He also came here to pay a debt. There is a debt to pay here. Okay, even though you are a good seed, you cannot go to heaven because you have a debt. Okay, the debt with death. You have to pay a debt, you know? As soon as you're born, you have a debt to pay, and that is death. You have to die. Because you are, as descendants of Adam and Eve, okay, we have a debt of death. Because they disobey, so the day you disobey, you have to die. They disobey, then they have to die. So there is a debt of death that you have to pay. And Jesus had to come to pay that debt in order that the good seeds, even though it's good seeds, can go to heaven debt-free because the debt have been paid.
Okay, I understood. Now let me turn the question around then. See if this is going to be more clear for me. The tares. Since they're already tares and they rejected already Jesus, they rejected salvation, why can't they be just sent into judgment? Why do they have to grow and contaminate this world? Would it be better without them? They already are decided.
Well, you can see in Matthew 13, this was exactly what the servant asked the Lord. Said, can we go there and destroy the tares? And he said, no, otherwise you're going to destroy also the good seeds.
Why?
Because you see, the good seeds and the tares are all mixed up. In the same family, you can have a Cain and an Abel. So you cannot destroy everybody and everything like God did in the flood if you don't live so Noah, in order that the good seeds can still be preserved through Noah. You understand? So it's like you cannot kill the tares because you have to kill everybody. It's like you have to stop humanity. Because there are good seeds that were supposed to be born thousands of years later. The good seeds had not come yet. There is good seeds which hasn't come and it needs to come in the future. It's not even born yet. You have to be born in order to receive salvation, in order to receive Jesus. And only when you come of age, you grow, you understand that you have to receive Jesus. And if you choose to receive Jesus, only in the moment your debt is paid.
You're saying that tares are mixed with the good seeds. Is it possible from a tare to come a good seed out of a tare?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. And to be honest, God didn't give me the revelations. But I don't know. I just didn't have a revelation on that, so I don't want to say. I cannot say because the Bible doesn't specify. It's like it says that the tares are destined to be burned and the good seeds are destined to be saved. But attention, God cannot save the good seeds if they first don't grow to an age to decide if they want Jesus or not.
Okay, and right after they decided yes for Jesus, can't they go to heaven straight?
No, they cannot go to heaven straight because that's the question I asked God. As soon as I got saved in 1973, I said, God, can I please die?
I made my decision.
Yeah.
I finished.
I know. That's what I remember. I was in London. I received the baptism of the Spirit. And I asked God if I could please die. I just said, I just want to die. I'm sick and tired of everything. I tried everything. Everything is a mess. I want to die. Go to heaven. And God took me to a square. It was called Trafalgar Square in the middle of London. There were some thousands of people walking around. And he said, I want you to go evangelize these people. You understand? So the moment you get saved, you didn't reach the end. You started from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said, as the Father sends me, I send you. He said in John 21:20. So the moment we are saved, our life begins to be a little Jesus. So there is a Calvary to climb. There's a cross to carry. There are souls to be evangelized. Souls to be saved. now the beautiful thing begins. Our Calvary begins, but thank God, it's not always a Calvary. Praise the Lord that tell you.
Amen.
Since I start serving the Lord, you know very well too, you've been with us many years, it's not always a Calvary. The Lord gives us the grace, gives us the joy, gives us the blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joseph. It was really interesting and actually clarified lots of my ideas. Also, I know many people in the world are wondering the same things, but I just understand God more now, why He allows us to go through all these lessons in life. And I'm actually very grateful for the lessons, because I was wondering, yes, why I can't get saved and go to heaven, get out of this world, but I'm happy I'm not going. I'm not ready. I have still lessons to learn, and I want to prepare to be a real bride for Jesus. And I hope the Lord will take me only when He can be proud of me and not before, even if I have to go through more hardships and problems. I really pray the Lord will prepare me for that. So God bless you, dear friends. I pray this is a blessing for you and answering your questions. Thank you again, Joseph.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.
Amen.